Lord, we just praise you and glorify you, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, we are looking forward to this latter rain anointing. We're looking forward to it, Lord, and place it in our hearts to be praying for it. Place it in our hearts to be longing for it, because that's the anointing that breaks the yoke off the enemy. And we praise you, Father, that it's going to happen soon. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Lord, lead us and guide us tonight in the things that you'd have us to share. And we praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, for all the healings. We thank you, Lord, that when we all pray and pray together, people are healed, delivered, and they're set free. Praise God. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for all the work that you're doing in us individually. And we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you're going to accomplish tonight. In Jesus' name. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
Just, well, I guess I'll make a confession first and then ask for prayer. Father, I repent for being getting anxious and having anxiety, Lord, and I trust and I believe you, Lord. And so I thank you, Lord, for your deliverance, your healing, and your power, healing power, Lord. And I don't receive these symptoms of pain in the name of Jesus, and I command them to go. By your stripes, I'm healed and I'm delivered. And your salvation is effective for everything in my life, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Indeed. Thank you, Lord. All right, Teresa.
I would like to pray about the buyers that put an offer on my property. Well, there's somebody that came up with an easement that they think is supposed to cross my pro well, that they want to cross my property. And they're framing it like, well, it was supposed to be there in the first place. Well, it never was. It was a driveway, a driveway that went from Dove Road to our neighbor's house, and then the driveway that went from Icicle Lane to my cabin. And so there never was a legal easement there. The only legal easement is Icicle Lane that does cross the corner of my property. But somebody else wants to put in an easement. Now that I am selling the property, and they're trying to move in to the title company and claim, well, this is legal. It was legalized. It never was. And so, in other words, they're fabricating something. And so the buyers were all set to buy the land, and now they've got to talk with lawyers to find out if, the other easements, all over that area have anything to, if there's any on my property that apply to all the other easements that people, and actually all the neighbors, they've closed down what used to be easements across their property, and everybody has their own driveway to their own property. And so whoever's trying to do this is causing trouble for me. So, because I'd like to get my cabin built. And so I would just like this thing that the Heavenly Father and my Lord Jesus, I'm praying that God would just shut that person down who's trying to do that, because I mean, they're lying. They're just outright lying. I had to have, when before I moved in, I had to have the prop, it was wall to wall trees. I had to have it logged just even get into the property. And then it took about another 5 years to clean up after the logging. And there were neighbors that did cut across the property illegally, but that doesn't mean it was a legal easement. It never was. They were just what's encroaching. And so And so I'd like to get my property sold so I could build my cabin, because I need the cabin.
Okay. Well, we're going to pray, and
Because
you're not going.
we prayed a couple months ago, and we prayed it would be done by March, and so it's April, and so something came up to hold it up. So whatever is holding it up, I need that to go away.
Well, Lord, we just thank you for giving Teresa a dream or vision or a word of knowledge, what she has to do to get this easement stuff knocked off the docket. And we praise you for that, Father. Lord, we thank you that what we prayed, we believed. We thank you, Lord, that this easement is not an easement. We thank you, Father, that these people are going to go away. Angels, we send you over there right now to fix this for her, and to have it where the whoever's in charge, whoever does these things, is probably a what is it that does it, that determines it, a
Well,
circuit judge.
no, see, before we moved in, there was an elderly lady about 100 years old. And
She's
so
elderly.
way back then, before it got developed, everybody was driving everywhere. And then people got their boundaries to their land, and then everybody just started using their own driveways to their own houses. And so, evidently, she at one time, I don't know, must have been 50 years ago, improperly did some kind of hearing on it and got it okayed for all those easements. And then I had another neighbor recently moved in next door, and she was trying to protect her driveway from being encroached on. And so her two lawyers told her it had never been properly, what's the word for it? It had a judge had never properly legalized it. It had never been legally. And see the planning and zoning and mapping actually had to come to the property and give the address to us, because there was no address. It was bare land, wall-to-wall forest, logged. There was no address. They actually had to give us the address. And the guy who did the mapping and gave us our address took a look, and he said that there was a drive to our cabin, and there was a legal easement, which was 128 Icicle Lane. And that's what he said. And don't they? And the title companies on their front page, they said, "We are not legal authorities. We're not lawyers." And so they don't have the legal authority to decide if there's an easement there or not. So actually, there's no legal authority that says that there's an easement there.
Okay.
Teresa,
Yeah.
do you have corner pins for your lot? Is your lot pinned out?
We don't have corner pins for our lot, but the logger that logged it, he did all the what do you call it, assessments of where the boundaries were to the lot. Because when they cut the logs, they have to not go into other people's property. So he did. His name was Andy, and he and you know his company logged it, and so he asked. Well, he didn't just estimate it. He has
He
instruments that measure,
surveyed it.
surveyed it. Yeah. He surveyed it and was within those lines. He let us even pick out the trees we wanted to keep so they wouldn't log him. And
Okay,
so,
if he surveyed it, he had something he had to go by, and that was from the title company. And the title company had to insure it for somebody in order for the land to be there. If that's the case, just go get a copy of the title and say, show me the easement.
Yeah, I have that.
So,
If you can't show me the easement, then this discussion is over.
yeah. Okay. So I have to tell that to the buyers.
You may have to have a surveyor, a survey company, an authorized survey company come out and set your corner pins, your boundaries for your property, because right now there's a certain lack of clarity as to what's yours and what isn't yours. And so if you don't have that, it's going to be a arbitrary call, potential arbitrary call in the in court if it should go there, or when you get the lawyers involved.
Do you
If you
have a
have,
certified title for it?
what's
Do
that?
you have a certified title for it from the title company? It'll be rubber stamped and what have you.
Yeah, I mean the property's paid off. We paid off the property.
Okay.
But you have a deed, right?
Yeah.
So on that deed, you have the layout. It'll give you feet and degrees
Reference
or something
points.
like reference points as far as the layout.
Yeah.
You may, I don't know. I mean, it depends upon the Lord how he wants to handle this, but you may have to hire a surveyor to go out there and physically set points, corner points in there, so that it's established legally, I guess you might say, or formally, you know.
I know our neighbor on our neighbor has land that goes around us. So they have their points, and so we were, that's a double witness of where Andy surveyed it because
That may be
it
all you
follows the
need.
points, it follows their points.
Well, yeah, and they technically it's the same point. You know, my neighbors didn't have my property points. Well, actually, they did. The surveyors came out and did it, 30 year, 40, 50 years ago or whatever. And I actually just dug them up to uncover them so I knew exactly where they were at. And if that's the case, you may have, again, you may have to have a surveyor come out there and uncover the pins and put, wooden stakes and flags up.
Let me say something here. I know a little bit about this. Is this the only way they could get into their properties across your property?
No, every person has their own drive.
Okay,
See, our neighbors.
end of discussion. If they can get to their driveway, if they can get to their property through their driveway, they don't have anything that they can say about going across your land.
Exactly. That's
Yeah,
exactly the
that's
truth.
you just tell them to shoot your best shot, brother. Because that's the way it works in Arkansas. The only way that they can determine that they need an easement across your property is if that's the only way they can get to that property back there. And then
And
they got
that,
to go through a lot of trouble.
yeah. And everybody there can get to their own property.
Well, I see,
There
I'd say that's the end of it.
is one contingency, and it is basically what happens is if, say, a neighbor decides to use, your side of the fence to drive up to their property, and you don't contest it or you allow it for a certain duration of time, like, years, then I think it's kind of like common law. It's not written, but it's inferred because the property owner has not contested that type of scenario. So that's and that could possibly be what they're trying to depend on or whatever.
But
You
I
know,
did
that type of
contest it. I did contest it. And
right.
so, and they and
Excuse me.
so it was dropped because nobody had any legal authority to, when our next door neighbors moved in, we bought our property first, and then the next door neighbors moved in, bought the property from the neighbors that were there before. They also did not want their driveway used by the other neighbors, and I didn't want my driveway used by the other neighbors, and everybody else could get to their own property. So, we wanted our privacy, and so we contested it. Both me and the next door neighbors, we contested it, and we shut it down and said, "See, because, we were latecomers. We bought the property, after the other, after well, there like there's been people there for 50 years, and so, we bought the property just 6 years ago,
I'll tell
so
you what,
when we
let's
bought.
do. Let's pray again and leave it up to the Lord. Let him work it out. Judy, did you have something you wanted to?
I had a question just for clarification. So you're saying, Teresa, you're saying that there's an outside somebody who has nothing to do with the property ownership but is contesting it, or saying there is an easement just because they want what? They want to
Just
buy the
because
land, they or they what
they
they
want to use other people's property.
but they have nothing to do with the property that's there, right?
Right.
So
I don't
it
think about
sounds like
the
somebody's just trying to make trouble for you,
right.
and trouble maybe is somebody that just doesn't like the buyer, doesn't like you, or whatever it is, but God knows, and we just have to bind it up, I think. And
Yep.
so is just a quick add on to that. It's not one of your neighbors, is it?
it might, there was a guy, as you go up the mountain, there was a guy named Randy. No, what? If I'm remembering his name correctly, he wanted an easement to go through there. Even though he could drive up Bicycle Lane to get to his property, he just out of the blue, he wanted an easement there, to where he could just cut across our driveways and go to Icicle Lane. I mean, Dove Road. And he has nothing to do with the property. He has his own driveway to his own property, and he just has no right to encroach on our land. And so there is a neighbor. And I think it might be Randy. We've even had to have a sheriff, me and the other neighbors. He's a troublemaker. We had to have me, other neighbors at different times, including me, we had to call the sheriff to deal with him. Because he would always he was always fighting somebody.
Or do you believe that God can handle it?
I do believe God. I
Okay.
absolutely do believe God can handle it.
All right, we're going to leave it up to him. Lord, we just thank you that we can call on you. You've got the angels out there to do the work. We praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, that this is going to end quickly for Teresa. Ever how you want to fix it, Father. And we thank you for it. We're just going to believe that this issue is over and that
Amen.
Teresa doesn't have to give easement to anybody, that she's going to sell this thing and it's going to sell to these people and she's going to get the money that she requested for it. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, it's already done. Already done in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Everybody
Amen.
believe that?
Yes.
Thank
I
you,
choose to
Lord.
make a decision to believe it.
Amen. Me too. Okay, anybody else? Excuse me. Anybody else got a prayer request? Okay. We'll play something here, possibly. All right, hang on. Got to get everything lined up here. I'm sorry.
Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. Stand face to face. Come and lay it all down. Cause it might be today. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. Your past will be washed. Rivers of grace.
Glory to God. I want to encourage y'all tonight. Is that all right? Can I do that? All right. What I want to do is I want to get into the first little bit of Visions Beyond the Veil. I'll tell you why. Because we're there. What happened to them is fixing to happen to everybody that's seeking the Lord with all his heart. This is what's fixing to happen. Do y'all mind? I think it'll encourage. Oh, you do? Okay. Okay. All right. We'll do that. Unless somebody's got something more they want to share. Okay. Yeah, Jimmy.
My neighbor was just at my door. He's an older gentleman. He's not across the street. It's not Fred. It's another guy. His name is Stephen. I think maybe I prayed for him before. Anyhow, he has to have a procedure, a hernia. He's got a hernia, and he's got to have a procedure done on Thursday. And he was supposed to have it done weeks ago, and I don't know what the what the delay is and stuff, but I just don't want him to be taken advantage of by the doctors and the whole medical industry. And he's not sure, but he's apparently it's an outpatient procedure. He just asked me to go with him because the person who usually goes with him, can't contact them. So I volunteered that I would. That's on Thursday. So I really want to believe that Stephen's healed of this hernia. So Michael, would you please pray for Stephen? He is a Christian. He is a sweet man. He's probably your age, maybe a little older. He is a veteran, and he's had a lot of trials, physical trials. But he does everything for his wife and himself, and she's pretty much can't go anywhere. And he's just caring a lot, and he doesn't get any support from his wife. And anyhow, okay. It's just kind of a weird situation there. She's physically unable. She's got a lot of bitterness, and she's got a lot of unforgiveness in her heart towards family. And it's just kind of a bad situation. So,
okay. Yeah, we can pray for Stephen. Lord, let's lift up Stephen to you. We break this curse off of him right now. This hernia got to go in Jesus' name. And all the symptoms leave his body right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that the doctors are not going to abuse him in any kind of form or fashion in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that he is healed, he is delivered, and he is set free to take care of his wife. And Lord, we just ask that you intercede in his wife's life and show her her faults. And we praise you, Father, that she will repent and come into you. And we praise you for that, Father, that that will be a household of God. And we thank you, Lord, that bitterness, unforgiveness is gone out that house in Jesus' name. And we praise you. There's nothing but love, joy, and peace in Stephen's house and his wife in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Your angels are there working on him right now. Okay, Judy, go ahead.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Stephen. Thank you, Lord, for his wife, Deborah. And just pray your blessing upon them, Lord, and your grace there. And I thank you, Lord, that you put it in Stephen's heart to ask me, that he had confidence in me, and just he knows he doesn't, you know, he hasn't got anybody else. So, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you put that in his heart to ask me, and that whatever time it is, that he's going to go on Thursday, and the doctors won't find anything. And we'll be back home in real short order. In Jesus' name. Thank you for healing him,
Amen.
God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thank you,
Amen.
Lord. Okay. The reason I wanted to read this to you all and we can discuss about it is the way it's laid out and the way they do that. How many of you read the visions of the veil, beyond the veil? It's about a bunch of orphans overseas somewhere. I forget where it is, but they all came to the Lord and Holy Spirit showed up. So I'm going to just read it, okay? But I might get a little excited.
What time frame in history are we talking about, Michael?
If I'm not mistaken, I don't know. Just a minute. Let me see if it has the dates on it.
The book's on our website.
Yeah.
I think it's under other Christian books or something like that. Beyond Visions Beyond the Veil.
Yeah. Probably. What would you say, Julie? 40s and 50s?
I can't remember. It's been a while since I've read it, but it's they went. There was, wasn't it some missionaries that went there to this place, this country, to be missionaries there? They didn't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit.
A.J. Baker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what it was. I guess right after the war, I think. But anyway, H.A. Baker was a Baptist, I believe. And these kids got filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're fixing to learn about here. This is chapter one of Visions Beyond the Veil, Mighty Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Morning prayer meeting was lasting longer than usual. The older children left the room one by one to begin their studies in the schoolroom, while a few of the smaller boys remained on their knees, praying earnestly. The Lord was near. We all felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Some who had gone out returned to the room. Such a mighty conviction of sin, a thing for which we had prayed so long, came to all, that with tears streaming down their eyes and arms uplifted, they cried unto the Lord for forgiveness for their sins, which now seemed so black. One after another went down under the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, until more than 20 were prostrate on the floor. And when I saw that the Lord was doing a most unusual thing in our midst, I slipped over to the schoolroom and told the boys that if they felt led to come and pray, they might be excused from the schoolwork. In a short time, the Chinese teacher was left sitting alone by the table. All his pupils have returned to the prayer room. They were wholeheartedly praying and praising the Lord. When the teacher realized there was nothing for him to do, he started for his home. I had not invited him in with the children, for although he has been with us a long time, he seemed utterly dead. Rather, not yet alive to any spiritual conception of the gospel. Having gone but a short distance from the house, he returned, and when he entered the prayer room, nobody noticed him, for everyone was intent on his own business with the Lord. The teacher went to the farthest corner of the room, excuse me, where for the first time in his life he knelt down and tried to pray. As the Lord's power was so very manifest, I felt it best to leave the young man by himself and not to intrude on what I knew must be the work of the Spirit and of the Spirit alone. It was not long before I noticed the teacher with his arms uplifted, tears on his face, pleading with the Lord to forgive his sins, which I heard him say were so very many. He being proud for him to humble himself, thus in the presence of his pupils, met a real Holy Spirit conviction of sin. The meeting went on hour after hour, the children showing no desire to leave. I had nothing to do or say. The Lord seemed to have complete control. I just tried to keep out of his way. As the children in visions saw the awfulness of hell, the anguish of lost souls, and the indescribable hellish power of the devil and his angels, their agonized crying was beyond anything I had ever heard or imagined. It was all real to them. Many saw themselves bound and dragged to the very brink of hell, which to them was no myth, but an awful reality. Condemnation for sin and the power of the devil over them was terrorizing in its reality. But freedom from this evil power through the grace of the Lord Jesus was just as real. And when they experienced this loosening power from the clutch of the evil one, their salvation was as real as had been their condemnation. Their joy, laughter, and peace of soul in the knowledge of what they had been saved from gave them an experience from which I am sure they will never be able to depart. Since from early morning they had all been in the presence of the Lord. By the time their late afternoon meal was ready, I thought surely the service for the day was over. Not so. Some left the prayer room for a short time, but all were soon back, saying they wanted to wait upon the Lord all night long. This was something decidedly new to us, for previously an hour's service was too long for some of them. We had long wanted them to pray more, and now that they were willing, why refuse them? Not a child went to sleep until a late hour that night. Not until 6 o'clock the next morning were the last voices stilled in the prayer and praise service that had lasted over 24 hours with scarcely a pause. Whew, glory to God. Continuous weeks of the latter rain. After the first 2 days of the mighty outpouring of the latter rain, there was not the manifestation of the power of God there had been. We therefore went back to the regular order of work, expecting to spend more time in the evening tarrying before the Lord. The boys went to their schoolwork, and I went out to call on some people to talk to them about the gospel. Our morning prayer meeting began at about 7:30. As usual, we all prayed at the same time, and each went out when he pleased. Upon returning at 12 o'clock, I heard someone praying in the prayer room. Going in to see who it was, I found our quietest and most timid boy, Wang Gia Swin, a boy of about 8 years of age, hidden behind the organ, praying in a loud voice and weeping as he confessed his sins to the Lord. He had been praying continuously since the morning service without stopping for breakfast. As I came out of the prayer room, the boys came out from their school They were then to go to the garden or to the other kinds of industrial work for the rest of the day. But some of them wanted to know if they could stay to pray, having been told that those who wished to might remain and pray. A few went to work, and all the others went into the prayer room and began praying. Almost at once, there was another mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This outpouring was so continuous that for over a week, no more attempts were made to do regular work. We did only necessary things. Everyone spent the rest of the time taking in the great blessing from God. In the first days, no one paid much attention to eating or sleeping. Whenever the young folks began to pray, the power of God would fall, prostrating many to the floor. It was impossible to have meals at regular hours without interfering with the work of the Holy Spirit. After the power of God lifted from different ones, they would go out for a time to rest or to take some food and then return to the prayer room soon to be under the power of the Holy Spirit again. These manifestations of the Spirit were so continuous that nearly all day until late in the night, some were under his power. And when things became quieter at 9 or 10 in the evenings, we would suggest that all go to bed and rest until the next morning. Usually, several would want to pray and wait on the Lord longer. As these continued in prayer, nearly all who had gone to bed would get up and return to pray. During these nights, there was not much sleeping. Some of the boys never left the prayer rooms all night. They didn't want to sleep. When they got sleepy, they rested on the floor a while, then they got up to seek the Lord again. Soon they were lost once more in the things of God. One thing is certain. This was a Holy Spirit outpouring that demanded nothing on the part of us missionaries except our keeping out of the way and taking care not to interfere with his wonderful work. Our part was to open up our own hearts that we too might be taken deeper into the heavenly blessings that were falling in such mighty showers. Our presence or absence in the meetings made little difference. One of the first meetings, we were delayed in getting downstairs without any call to prayer meeting. One after another of the children had gone into the prayer rooms and begun praying and praising the Lord. When at last we were able to get past the many interruptions and go down to the prayer room, we found several of the younger children prostrated under the power of the Holy Spirit and singing in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. From the very beginning, the manifestations of the Spirit, the visions, and the revelations carried everything into the supernatural realm, so far beyond our own limited knowledge or experience of supernatural matters, that Mrs. Baker and I confessed to each other that these things had already passed to the place where the only resource we had was to believe that God was bigger than the devil. We took refuge behind the promise of God that we had before found safe. The promise that those who sought the Father for bread would not get a stone. Those who sought a fish would not get a serpent. And those who sought an egg would not get a scorpion. And those who, with pure motives, like these children, sought the Holy Spirit would not get evil things or demons, but would get exactly what they sought, which was the Holy Spirit. In all the succeeding weeks, God proved that promise true. Since he had proven that promise to us before, it set us free from anxiety as we saw and heard the wonderful things of God that took place in our midst every day, different. One wonder succeeded by another. And as our wonder-working God took his Adullam refugees from stage to stage and from glory to glory in his school of the Holy Spirit. Many of the most marvelous manifestations of the Holy Spirit were given to those who knew little of the Bible teaching on the subject, thus confirming the supernatural nature of these visions and confirming the reality of the outpourings of the Holy Spirit recorded in the New Testament. Some children who had never heard us speak of the present-day outpouring of the Holy Spirit as the latter rain in this outpouring upon Adullam, that's the name of the orphanage, actually experienced it as the latter rain. We all prayed and praised the Lord together with closed eyes. Some of the children seemed to feel water dropping upon their heads. They were so busy seeking the Lord, they didn't want to hinder the blessing by opening their eyes to look around. At the same time, in their hearts, they wondered how it could be sprinkling rain on them when there was a roof and a floor between them and the sky. But with the sprinkling, their hearts were refreshed. As the dropping of water seemed to increase and the sprinkling became a shower, it all seemed so glorious that the wonder of how it could rain in a downstairs room was forgotten. The sprinkling became a shower. The shower became a great downpour. And the downpour became a deluge filling the room and rising higher and higher until the fortunate seeker was submerged in this wonderful life-giving flood from heaven. Glory to God. At different times, several children experienced this sense of the downpouring of rain. 6 months after the great outpouring and after a dry spell, the floodgates of heaven were opened again and there was another downpouring of the Holy Spirit. Again, two of the small children experienced rain, the latter rain, that seemed to fall upon their heads, penetrating and flooding their whole beings. Through Bible study and through direct revelation by the Holy Spirit, Adullam is now coming to understand the meaning of this rain. They understand that this is that spoken of by Joel the prophet. He hath given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month, Joel 2:23. The former rain was upon the first church, the seed church, sown on the earth on day of Pentecost. And the succeeding 200 or 300 years, the former rain was the rain in the autumn upon the grain that was sown in the ground. Then came the great falling away, the long winter of the dark ages, the grain sown in the earth, the church in the world apparently dead. Then came sprinklings of the latter rain in the first month in the spring through Luther, Wesley, Fox, Finney, and Moody, and other servants of God. Salvation by faith, the born-again experience, holy living. First the blade, then the ear began to come forth. Now the sprinkling is becoming a shower. Healing through faith in Jesus has come again. The Lord is again casting out devils. He's healing the sick and he's raising the dead, proving himself the Almighty God in the midst of those who believe him. The hope of the coming King has revived. The Lord is again baptizing believers with the Holy Spirit as in the beginning, the former rain, so that they speak with other languages and prophesy as the Holy Spirit gives utterance. The harvest is near. The former rain, the seed rain, came moderately. The latter rain, the harvest rain, will come abundantly to ripen the grain, to perfect the church. There will be deluges of rain, deluges of rain, the latter rain of the Holy Spirit. The greatest revival the world has ever seen is just ahead. The greatest miracles, the most wonderful wonder-working church the world has ever seen is near. The downpouring of latter rain is at hand. The clouds are now filling the sky. And according to promise, the Lord will soon pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. The church that was sown in the time of the former rain and fell into the earth and died has come forth. It will soon be the full ear, the full corn in the ear, beyond anything Pentecostal days ever saw. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens. In these days will I pour out of my spirit. And because of this final and greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the church in the full ear will have restored it to the years eaten by the locust, the canker worm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. The fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit will all be restored to the true church of the blood-washed believers. In its supernatural life and supernatural ministry, multitudes will be converted. The floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow. Glory to God. Multitudes, which no man can number, will come into the garner from all nations and kindred and peoples and tongues. And if you read Acts 2, you'll see that this outpouring upon all flesh is for today. Our Adullam people, at any rate, are sure of this. Many times has the Lord stood in their midst, made to them the same promises he made to first believers, and commissioned them with the same commission to carry the same gospel in the same power with which he sent forth the first disciples in the day of the former rain. We know that the latter rain that fell on Adullam is like the former rain, but it is the last rain that will bring the wheat and tares to full harvest and separation, and will usher in the return of the Lord of the harvest to gather the wheat into his barns and burn the tares in the furnace of fire. And the Holy Spirit has on different occasions and by different Adullam people been seen as a tongue of fire upon the head of each one in the room. In some instances, more than one person has seen this vision at the same time. And of course, all who are familiar with the Bible know that the things of God are not equally revealed to all. And when the Spirit has fallen in our meetings, many have felt the Holy Spirit as a wind blowing upon them, flooding their souls with peace and power. These breezes from heaven have sometimes been in such power that we have no difficulty in believing the record that when the first disciples met together and lifted up their voices to God with one accord, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to stop right there. All right. Now, can you tell me what prompted the Holy Spirit to come? Yes. The deep, heartfelt repentance of prayer brought the Lord down. Of these young kids, we're talking kids from toddlers all the way up to teenagers. There's a whole lot more to that book. They had visions. They had all kinds of things. I don't know about y'all, but I got excited just reading this thing. Glory to God. Yeah, Pat.
So how long did that last? Do you know?
No, I don't. It's been a while since I read the whole book, so I really don't know. Seemed to me like it lasted for quite some time. Did it, Julie? You remember?
Yeah, I was looking it up online just to look it up real quick online just to see in brief what it said. But I think that it was from 1911 to 1919. It was in Tibet, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That was
In
the
China.
date that came up, that just what I saw briefly when I was searching it. So pretty amazing.
Yeah. What's amazing is to read the whole thing, and H.A. Baker and his wife were Baptists when they went over there, and then the kids started getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And they said, "What is this?" And then they decided, well, if they can do it, we can do it too. So they went in it, got filled up too. Praise God. I don't remember how all that transpired, but I know that the kids were filled before they were. The thing that I saw that was key to just about every revival was repentance and prayer, heartfelt repentance. And coming together in one accord like those children did. They came to the Lord just like a little child. And that's how he wants us to do. Yeah, Judy.
Michael, have all these like past revivals where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came, it was on groups of people, was it not, when they were all in prayer like that and seeking the Lord and crying out, wasn't it was on groups of people?
Most of the time, yeah, it was. If you remember the New Hebrides, there was two old ladies that were praying for it. So, yep.
Well, we can
I
pray for our own
was
personal revival, right? We can pray for our own personal revival. I mean, it's just
absolutely,
starting our own hearts, so.
absolutely. And not let anything else distract us. Yeah. Just heartfelt repentance and praying and doing what those kids were doing. And that was the Holy Spirit. How many of you have been in prayer and just got overwhelmed with the Spirit of God? You know, we all have, probably at some point in time. Well, that's available to us every day. That's available to us as we walk in Christ. Because who's with us? Jesus. He's with us all the time. We can experience revival all the time. It's just sometimes we get distracted. Maybe a lot of times, I don't know. I know I'm guilty. Yeah,
Yeah,
Judy.
I got distracted today. Lord, forgive me. I got distracted, and I keep praying against it and believing you've delivered me from all that. But my flesh is still alive in some areas, and Lord, I don't want it to live. I need self-control and discipline, and just say no to stuff, and help us all, Lord, with that in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Amen. Anybody else got any comments or something else they want to talk about? I remember one time in a Church of God church, small church, bunch of good believers had a lot of faith. And the pastor was a good musician, great musician, actually. And boy, he started, we started praising God and praising God and praising God, probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 of us. And the Holy Spirit came down, and it was so powerful, so powerful. Not only that, but there was a fragrance in there, a Holy Spirit's fragrance, and I've smelt it before, and it was awesome. And that was one of the most meaningful. We stayed in there for, gosh, a long time. Long time praying and experiencing the Lord. And I want to be able to do that every time fellowship comes together. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Even on the outreach. Why can't we do it on the outreach, for goodness sake?
Amen. Like right
Well,
now, God.
what would that look like? Well, it'd look like some people that were repenting and praying and doing all, but you want me to allow you to play something?
No, I pushed the wrong button. I was just trying to raise my hand.
Okay, that's all right. Well, you got access. Go ahead.
Okay. What I have noticed is that when God is tr when the Holy Spirit is trying to accomplish something, that's when I get real heavily anointed. But as soon as that has been accomplished, then all of a sudden it just ebbs away. And so I don't have it constantly. But when it does, when I do have, when the Holy Spirit is rising up in me, when I was going through Nini sickness, to the point of her death, God's anointing would come on me, my bones would actually hurt. You know, my bones and my arms would actually hurt. And it went on for a couple months. And so I think God was just, it was, I really think it was for her, you know, because she was going through, you know, a sickness that was going to lead to her death. And so, you know, and I prayed for her healing too. And so, always. And so, but as soon as she passed, then that heavy anointing did not, wasn't rising up. Even, you know, from that point to now. And so, and in the past, when I was heavily anointed, it was when my kids were young and, my husband at the time, he was in adultery, and I didn't know it. And so I was praying for my family though. And God's anointing was heavy, 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 heavy. But then when, and then it finally, 21 years later, God said, if the unbeliever wants to depart, let him depart. And then it was gone. That heavy anointing was gone. And so, I really think the Holy Spirit brings it on when the Holy Spirit wants to accomplish something. You know,
Absolutely.
when you're doing that spiritual warfare.
It is.
So I don't have it all the time, but it does come, on.
I suggest to everybody that you can have it all the time.
I know you can have it all the time, but the what I have
I'm
experienced
not
it.
arguing with you. I'm just saying. We can have it all the time. I know we get distracted sometimes. And it's I'd love to have it all the time. I haven't figured it out yet. Have anybody else? I'm talking about being led by the Spirit. We listen to Jesus. I can do it at times. I can sit down and be quiet and listen and ask the Lord some questions and get the answers. But I want to do it. I want to know that He's with me all the time, you know? Teresa, I want Him just, Lord, are you with me? Yeah, I'm here. I ain't going nowhere. You know, I don't think He says I ain't, but He might. He's from Arkansas. All right, Pat, go ahead.
I guess I'm feeling a little bit something a little different tonight. I experienced a very, very close sense of the Lord's presence early on. And I do so, like Teresa said, in waves. One of the experiences that I had that has kind of established me in a particular direction. And I say this, I don't disagree with anything that anybody has said here tonight because, excuse me, I see it as not so much as an anointing, but a sense of God's presence. But the example that I had, and of course, we don't. I don't. You know, I don't want to be guilty of judging, or, you know, interpreting scripture based upon my experiences, but vice versa. But I will explain, the experience that I had, and And it came as a result, I have to say, of obedience to what to the word of the Lord, God's word in a specific area in my life. And it was a step of obedience that what ran contrary to my inner comfort zone, I guess you might say. And I went through a process kind of steadfastly, this is what I'm going to do because I want God. I want to be able to sense God. I want, my sensitivity to the Holy Spirit to be heightened, and all opposition pushed down was kind of the concept. And as I went through, and I think I've told this story before, probably many times, quite frankly, and that was a clearing of my conscience, is what I understood it to be at the time. But it was really a confession of my sin and going back to people that I know that I had offended in my life, and confess my sin, my what I had done wrong, and ask them to forgive me, type of thing. And I know it was extremely humbling, and it was extremely fearful. But and the process, I'm going to say, wasn't a one night thing. It was a process. Of course, I had a fairly significant list, but it took me a long time to go through that list and simply make contact with people. And each time I made contact with people and made that phone call and talked to them and explained, what I had done wrong and that the Lord had convicted me about such and such, and I confessed to them that it was very wrong, and would you forgive me, type of thing. I never had one person, say, "Man, you're some kind of a goof or something," and hang up. Not one. It literally broke. It broke something in me, and it broke something in the people. And I will have to say that as a result of that, the intensity of the Lord's presence become more and more every day, and I couldn't sense it. I couldn't get up in the morning and say, "Oh wow, I really feel this. This is really a powerful thing. I'm going." I didn't. It wasn't that way. It was just I was being released and freed, and was more comfortable in, I guess, in the Lord's presence, and it just be it built and built and built until I realized that I was just talking back and forth with the Lord in a constant conversation, even through my work. And it was just a constant flow. And the thing is, I came from the context of a Baptist, independent fundamental Baptist tradition that did not experience this sort of thing, and speaking about this type of one-on-one communication with the Lord was an uncomfortable presentation in some form or another. So I got to where I, had to pick and choose what I could say and what I couldn't say. But the very thing is God became so precious and so present in my life, and that I literally I couldn't wait to bounce out of bed in the morning and read for 3 and 4 hours in the morning. I'd just rejoice and go to work and everything. And all this time, well, I'll cut it short. There came a point in time when I realized that I could literally do no wrong. I could do no sin if I'm sitting right there on God's lap. I mean, I'm sitting right there and Jesus is right here and the Father is right here. There isn't any way you're going to sin. There's no way in the world with that intensity of presence. And believe me, I absolutely loved and love being in the presence of the Lord. It is an absolute exuberance, and it takes you, it's just it to be in his presence takes you out of your own presence and brings you into just an aspect where nothing else matters, and you just enjoy being there. However, there came a certain point in time when the Lord said, and I think he put it this way, I'm going to leave for a while. And again, I was going through a process of, what are we going to learn today, Lord? What? And I'd open up the scripture and I'd read the Proverbs or read through Psalms and I'd see something, he'd stop me on something, I'd read it and think about it. What does that mean, Lord? How does that fit into? I don't understand how this even fits in with anything. And lo and behold, today in my work process, he would show me how that scripture applied, either through some sort of activity or an interaction with somebody or whatever it was. He would literally show it to you. He would demonstrate it's working. And when I would see it work out in this communication or conversation with somebody, or relationship, or God supplying a job, or whatever it was, and then he would flick that light off of me and say, "That's what it means right there." And I would just so enjoy that. And the next morning, I'd say, "Well, Lord, what does this mean? I'm not sure what you know." And boy, we went through. I can't imagine. I suspect it was close to 6 months of this, and I was just in rapture. But there came a point in time when the Lord, as I said, "I'm going to leave you for a little while." And I thought it was for a short time. I thought this was the next lesson for the day. No problem. Let's see what this is all about. And then it stretched to a week, and then it stretched for a month. And then my heart started yearning to be back in that place. And I started seeking the Lord, and my whole life basically focused on getting that feeling, that experience, that presence back, because I felt like I had lost that. I mean, I could go on in a whole thing here, but it has taken me through a process of life and led me right to here. And The point being is that I think I would have never learned what needs to be conquered, what things in me needed to be conquered, had I been sitting on Daddy's lap all that time from then to now. I would have never experienced my own weakness, my own propensity to sin, my own. I would have never experienced those inner battles if God would have been in my presence constantly, every day, all the time. And I have come to realize that God is raising sons and daughters to do his work. And I know that there is a tendency to think that because we don't sense his presence with us, we don't feel like we have the power to do it. But the truth is, he dwells right here in our heart. He never leaves us. He can never leave us. If it's up to him, he will never leave us. He never left me. He only removed the sense of his presence in me, my sensing of his presence. But he never moved. He simply removed the sense of his presence. Now, did I like that? I'm going to say absolutely and positively is the worst experience I have ever had in my life. Never do I want to go through it again. However, I believe that God wants us to learn to stand on his word, his truth, and do his word. Stand on his truth. His truth is he is in me. He is in us. That power that we sense occasionally, and again, I don't want to sound like I'm sounding negative here. Maybe I am, I don't know. But if I am, it's not my intention, and please forgive me. But he wants us to stand on the truths of his word, whether we sense his presence or not. Because the fact is, whether we sense his presence or not, he is in us. He has provided everything we need in order to accomplish his work and to be in his presence. So I can understand now why he is doing these things within us. Because when he does pour out his spirit in this latter rain that's coming, it's going to be exactly like Michael said. It's going to be an overwhelming sense of his presence in people's lives, and they are going to be unhinged. They're going to not care about anything, and they're going to want to be in his presence all the time. And praise God, we all want to be there. But that sense of his presence is an awareness of the empowerment that we have within us, and it behooves us as sons and daughters to be able to guide people through to be able to use and implement that power in the Holy Spirit in order to bring others into the kingdom. And I think that if you go back and read Finney's revivals and the revival lectures and stuff that Charles Finney had in the early or mid 1800s, he was instrumental in preaching the truth of God and preaching it in such a way as to convince people through the facts of the truth of God's word and bring them into such a state of inner need that they cried out for God for mercy, and God sent revival and that presence of His Holy Spirit, and brought them into that relationship with God. And those people, it is said that those people tended to stay strong in Christianity or in church, basically. In doing religion, I guess you might say, that's what the words they used in those days, because of the fact that Finney had a way of driving the word and the truth into people's hearts in such a way that that conviction compelled them to continue on with Christ. So I get excited at these stories of revival simply because of that, because that's God's powerhouse of pouring out His power, His presence, His Holy Spirit in order to bring people into the kingdom and sweep people in. And so I don't know. I just, I hope I didn't, put a damper on things or whatever. I certainly don't intend on doing that, but I know for a fact that this is where the Lord is leading me in these last days, in these last months, is really showing me that, I need to stand on God's word and on His truth and learn to stand on it no matter what I feel or don't feel, and trust God for the feelings or the sense of His presence or whatever it is. So anyway, I'll quit. I'll shut up. Let her be us talk.
Well, that's good. Good stuff. Yeah, he doesn't want us to go by feelings anyway. He just wants us to go by the word of God, like he said. But boy, it sure is nice when he does. Glory to God. It sure is. All right, anyone else? I think we're right on the verge of a revival here, all over. Very shortly. Yeah, Nick, hey, buddy.
Hey, Michael.
How you going, bud?
I have a really important prayer request.
Okay.
One of my mom's brothers, one of her cousins, his cousins, is lives in India, and he's has a fever of like between 100 and 101, and it won't go away, and it just stays, and he's had it for like 7 to 10 days. And is still not gone.
Okay, we're going to pray, and then you start confessing that it is gone. Okay? In the name of Jesus, right now, we command that.
Yeah.
This is your grandfather.
This is my, yeah. Yep.
Okay, this is your dad's father.
No, my mom's.
Your mom's father. I'm sorry. Yeah, of course. Okay.
Cousin. You said it was just her cousin?
Yeah. He lives in India.
What's his name? Well, don't tell me because I wouldn't be able to pronounce it anyway. Okay, Lord, we lift him up. We thank you, Father, that it makes no difference where he is. We can take authority over this fever, and we command this fever to go from him right now in Jesus' name. You spirit of infirmity, of fever, leave him now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that this fever has been broken. We loose it from him right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father. We bind it up from coming back too in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that he is healed, delivered, and set free by the blood of Jesus. Amen. I believe it. Glory to
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Well, he's healed. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
Well, we also just rebuke the cause of the fever too, and all infections and whatever's causing it. We command it to go, and we cast off of him every word curse has been spoken against him as well. And Father, thank you, Lord, for doing a quick work and drawing him to Jesus. Drawn to
Amen.
Jesus during this time, Father, in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy,
Amen.
God. Amen.
Amen. Let a revival start out over there for Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
I got a revival song.
Okay.
I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to play it if you give me,
Okay.
fair permissions. I mean, yeah, I will
All
sing
right.
it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Okay, you can do
You'll
it.
have to
It's
sing it
open.
too. You'll
Oh,
have
I
to
will.
sing too.
If I know it, I will.
I hear the voice of one cry. 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 Prepare. Make straight his path in the wilderness. Let his light shine. Let his light shine in.
let your rain fall. Let your rain fall in this desert. For I hear the voice of one crying. I hear the voice of one crying. Prepare. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Sure as gold is precious and the honey sweet. So you love this city and you love these streets. Every child out playing by their own front door. Every baby laying on the bedroom floor. Every dreamer dreaming in their dead end job. Every driver driving through the rush hour. I feel it in my spirit, feel it in my bone. Gonna send revival, bring them all back home. For I can hear that thunder in the distance, like a train. Young man working through his hopes and
I bet I woke up David. Praise God, if he's asleep. Thank you, Lord. I love that song. That's a gooder. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? I want to see the Lord again. I want to see Jesus all the time. Okay, Benjamin.
Hey everybody.
Hey, bud.
So I came by a little late. I had a little talk with my mom and just some news that I don't really want to put faith into. My grandma, she's really not doing too good. She's about 70 pounds, soaking wet. Having a hard time breathing. She can't even go to the bathroom without heavy breathing and going to the kitchen just to get a coffee, just kind of tuckers her out a lot. And again, this is all news that I'm not going to put faith to. This is just the bad news that is trying to, it's hard to hear stuff like that, and I just thought if I could ask someone to pray for this, just to keep the faith and to keep holding on to the good confession, please.
Has she been diagnosed with COPD or something like that?
I forget what the term was. Her condition is terminal, so it's. The doctors are saying it's not going to get any better. It's just going to get worse.
Emphysema.
Oh, that's a big
Okay,
word.
it don't make no
Yeah.
difference. It don't
Yeah.
make no never mind. Glory to God, God can take it off of Well, Lord, we lift her up. We command this spirit that had robbed her breath to leave her. In Jesus' name, I command it right now to go from her. And I thank you, Lord, that you have restored everything that the enemy has trying to take from her. It has already taken from her in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that she is completely healed. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that when she takes a deep breath, she's going to have all the air she needs in Jesus' name. Every time. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we put our faith together with all of my brothers and sisters here. And we thank you, Lord, that she is healed by the power and the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We loose this from her right now in Jesus' name and bind you from coming back. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. She's going to be jumping around and praising you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Judy.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We just cast on all spirits of discouragement and disappointment and doubt and unbelief. We command you to leave Ben right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, pray, God, that you will help him to confess your word and believe everything your word says about prayers of agreement, about there's nothing you cannot do. No word of God should be void of power. If we put our faith together and believe for these things, it's done. And I thank you, Lord, for giving him the gift of faith and comforting him and giving him your peace that passes all understanding. That's guarding Ben's thoughts and his mind, his heart, and all the concerns of him. I thank you, Lord, that you know what's going on. You see everything, and you know how to work, and you can do more than we can ask or think. I thank you, Lord, for just putting in Ben. No, we prayed, and that's where I'm standing. No, we prayed, that's where I'm standing. Your word says, and confess what your word says above everything else. We bind up all the attacks on his mind, any attacks on his emotions, and we just cast all that down, and we cast off every word curse that's been spoken against her, his grandmother. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for just blessing this whole situation, Lord, and we're going to hear a good report. In Jesus' name. hold fast to the confession of our hope, and we waver not. Praise God. And you get all the glory, Jesus, all the glory. Amen. You're muted, Michael.
Oh, and it was a good prayer too. Oh my. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to take Pharmakia out of her and just rely on you, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. I found out on my wife that she was taking 42 different drugs. I don't trust the pharmaceuticals at all. But thank you, Jesus. I'm doing. We thank you, Lord, that our faith is going to bring her through. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. She is healed, delivered, and set free. Praise God. And we cast down every word curse that the doctors and medical field has spoken against her in the name of Jesus as null and void. And we praise you, Father, that she is healed, delivered, and she's going to start praising you because of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I believe it. Y'all
Father,
believe it?
I also pray, Father, that you've got your angels there guarding her. I pray that that
Yes.
gives them comfort too, that you give your angels charge over us in all of our ways, and they're in there in that room with her, and they're ministering unto her an heir of righteousness because of household salvation.
Yep.
And I thank you, Lord, that they're there and they're ministering to her right now, and they're infusing her with strength to her body. We command
Yep.
strength into her
Thank you,
body
Jesus.
and healing to every cell of her body. And that her respiratory is cleared up, and that she is
Amen.
she's breathing strong, and she has strength to her body, and she's putting on weight. She has an appetite, and all these things that she hasn't been have been reversed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, that Ben's grandmother is healed and she's going to be singing the praises. Amen. All right, anyone else? Andrew, oh, there he is. Missy, hadn't heard out of you. She feeling bad?
Peep.
What was Oh, boy.
You said you hadn't heard anything from me, so I said, peep. You haven't heard a peep, so peep.
Hadn't heard a peep. No, that's right. All right. Anyone else? Oh, I'd love to see revival break out here in the outreach. I just carry through to everybody's home, through their whole families, the neighborhood, and all of that. Oh, my God. We can make it happen. We just pray. I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be praying for revival here. Thank you, Jesus. Think the thing that most of the thing I put, I'll just to be honest with you, the thing I have trouble with is distraction. That seems to be the number one because there's so many people pulling, at you here, yon, whatever. But it's you got to make up. I guess I just have to make up my mind to designate a time and utilize that time for him. Yeah. Don't bother. I put that sign out there on that door. Please do not disturb.
Is that
They
like
can't read.
selective hearing? Is that like
Oh,
selective hearing?
no, they can't read.
Okay, that's what I thought.
No, it's not that bad. Well, yeah, it is too. No, it's not. All
But it's
right.
always, good.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, you have a job, you got to do it. Lord's got your own stuff. Yeah, Pat.
I remember having a conversation with my pastor back early in the game, and I remember thinking, boy, he is so lucky because he doesn't have to go to work. I mean, I get up, in the morning at 4 o'clock and do whatever and get out of the house by 5:30. And in those days, I mean, it wasn't uncommon. I'd be working till 8 o'clock at night or something like that. But and I always thought, no, he's so lucky. He didn't have to go to work. He could read and study and pray all day long, if he wanted. I mean, I don't know. He may be dead. I don't know. And then I read that this book on Brother Lawrence about taking practicing the presence of the Lord and realized the Lord wants to go to work with us. He wants to be with us all through the day. And so just it kind of set me free to a certain degree because I was able to relax. I guess, I mean, in the midst of the day, you're always going through the day and there's always things pulling on you and that you have to focus on. I mean, and you have to, solve a problem or do a plan to make something else happen or make a phone call or send an email or whatever. But just that ability and it that is definitely where it's hard is to bring the Lord into that, or bring myself into the awareness that Jesus is here right now. He's here with me, figuring out this problem and guiding me through this, and whatever. And if I can get a word in edgewise, or where's a place I can, throw a zinger in there in this conversation that will, make an impact or whatever, because I found that the Lord, in our daily lives, many times he wants us to say certain things or speak certain things that may not necessarily, and I'm going to say 90% of the time, is not a scripture verse. But it's a truth. He told his disciples, those disciples, I think it's John 6 or maybe John 8 or something, those disciples who believed on him, truly, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. I had to pull that one out of the archives here a month or so ago because I was hitting rock bottom in some things, and I finally had to go back to the basics and say, God, listen, I need truth here. It's the truth that will set me free from these things. But and those that truth, it may not be in the form of a scripture verse, but it is truth. And that truth has the ability to break down barriers into. I remember speaking to one of my co-workers, another superintendent, and I could tell that that this particular person is there's something there that he there's a motivation, a spirit, or I don't know how what exactly is the thing, but will not let you. There's a sense that he always has to be right. He always has to be able to prove the point, and he's a very mental, I'm going to say mentally capable person that you throw something out and boom, he's got about 12 facts that he can peel off the top of his head, this and that and whatever, and he's right, and this is one of those type of it's a spirit that I don't know if it's a spirit of fear that he doesn't want to stop and think about something or what. And he made a comment or something, and so I said, well, no, that's not really correct. Oh yes, it is. This is up, up, up. And then we went down a whole line of justification or whatever. And while he was speaking, I Googled the question, and sure enough came up with an answer that was that I was correct, excuse me, in my comment, and he was completely not correct. And when I read it to him, I said, well, what this is what this newspaper here said or whatever. Excuse me. And it's like he stopped. It was like, oh, it stopped that thing in its tracks. And it just showed me, again, it was another demonstration of God's power, not necessarily to argue with a particular point and try to convince a mind that is already set in a mode, but to go above that and try to hit the motivation that is motivating that thing. I still don't know, but anyway, it's just how I got on that, I don't know, but it is truth that that, and oh, I know what it was, and it's the fact that you have the Lord with you right now in you, and when you get up to leave the Bible, you're taking him with you into this workplace, and you have all the resources there that are able to deal with what's coming down the pike, in the in but trying to keep a sense of his presence through the through the tension and the anxiety of the day is definitely difficult. So Lord bless us all in that process, in Jesus' name. Amen.
David just texted me, and we just got a great big win in the Supreme Court. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you, but he'll tell you. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. We thank you, Father, for bringing them all now. Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you know that chicken soup will make you feel better? How many of you know that? All us men know that, I can tell you. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, chicken noodle soup's good anytime.
Yeah, it's got to be. Jesus. Okay, anything else? Let's pray just a minute for what's going on out there in the deep state world. Father, we thank you that your angels are taking care of business, that God, you're taking care of business, and that these people are coming down. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that the deep state is coming down. And not only that, we're going to see some great times coming ahead. And we praise you for that, Father. Lord, we thank you for your angels that are out there right now doing the work, and just it's blowing people's minds what's going on, Lord, and we thank you for it. Glory to God. We thank you for it, Father. Praise be to God forevermore. Lord, at some point in time, people are going to understand the things that have been taking place here in the deep state. And how it's all been taken care of by you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I thank you, Lord, that Teresa is going to have no problems with this guy that's been giving her problems. It's over. It's over and it's broke by the power and the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that Nick's. Who is it? Is it your cousin or his aunt or his grandma? His cousin. We thank you that that cousin is healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. And all the rest of the prayers that we have prayed tonight. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, Barbara. That's right. They're turning everything around. It's coming toward us. In Jesus' name. Look for a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Amen. All right. Anybody got anything before we close out tonight? Yeah, Pat.
And Lord, send revival and give us the wisdom and the grace and the strength and the faith to preserve it and take it as long and as far as you want it to go in Jesus' name and bring many into the kingdom. In
Yes.
Jesus' name,
Yeah.
amen.
I'm glad you brought that up. The money that we get is for the revival and the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Y'all be blessed. Yeah.